Verse 28, a word about trusting God that He's going to bring good things out of bad. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, very familiar words. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much, Lord, for today. I just thank You, Lord, in times of crisis and disaster that we have this assurance and this promise from You, Lord, that You can take any bad thing and turn it into good. We're just going to trust that You're going to do that today, Lord, with this whole COVID-19 crisis in America and all over the world. And I pray today, Lord, that You would increase our faith. I pray You'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray You'd open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. 93-year-old Olive Veronese from Seminole, Pennsylvania, likes to have a can of Coors Light every night before she goes to sleep. But like all senior citizens, she was staying at home and sheltering in place because of the coronavirus and hadn't been able to go to the store, and she was down to her last 12 cans. So when her daughter finally made it over to her house last April the 14th, she took a picture of her mom holding up a sign in the window that said, "Need more beer." And that picture went viral. And what do you know? The Coors Brewing Company saw it and sent Olive 10 more cases of Coors Light. So now she has enough to last her for the next 5 months. Talk about 99 bottles of beer on the wall, and she doesn't even have to take one down and pass it around either. But I don't think God intended us to use this corona crisis to get more beer. Our text this morning is one of the most popular verses in the entire Bible, and it tells us that God is always at work using all things in our lives, even the bad things like disaster and crisis, for good. Not that the virus is good, but that God wants to use it for good things in our lives and hearts and minds and spirits if we let it. Our text this morning, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, tells us three things that we need to do to let God bring good things out of this crisis in our lives for our blessing and for His glory. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do to bring good out of this crisis, we need to stand on the fact that God is our security. We need to find our security in God so that we'll depend on Him more. And that's a good thing. And I know somebody's hearing this sermon right now saying, "Kevin, security in God. You're saying God caused this virus." No. God did not cause COVID-19. The effect of sin on nature and the human body caused COVID-19. So this isn't God's fault. It's our fault. This verse is not saying that God causes all things to happen to us. This verse says God causes all things that do happen to us to work for our good. You say, "But Kevin, if God knows everything that's going to happen ahead of time, why didn't God stop this virus before it even started?" God doesn't cause all bad things to happen, but sometimes God will allow some bad things to happen for a good reason. Because even though this virus is a bad thing, God is allowing it for a special purpose. And the fact that God didn't stop it proves that. Because God just doesn't get His jollies tearing the wings off of flies and causing people grief because he's bored and runs out of minutes on his phone. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 33. If God allows a problem, God has a good purpose for it. And this COVID-19 crisis is way too big for God to let it go to waste. And God is using this crisis right now to try to show every single one of us our only security is in Jesus Christ. But the question is, are we getting the message? God is using this crisis to destroy all of our myths about security. Because we all have this silly idea that life should always be perfect. Facebook tells us what to think. Google tells us what to do. GPS tells us where to go. Amazon gets it delivered to our front door. Domino's ensures your pizza if you drop it getting out of the car. And Blue Cross Blue Shield promises you if you have one of their insurance plans, you will live a fearless life with no worries whatsoever. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. But this COVID-19 crisis is a jagged little reality pill that we all have to swallow if we really want to be right with God. Because Jesus says, John chapter 16, verse 33, life is not an easy button. In this world, Jesus said, you will have difficulty and infection. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, time and chance and the coronavirus happened to us all. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, the rain and COVID-19 falls on the just and the unjust. So no guarantees. No guarantee you're going to get your destination wedding in Cabo. No guarantee you're going to get to walk across the stage at your graduation ceremony. No guarantee that you're going to get a job because 35 million other Americans are unemployed right now too. No guarantee you're going to get a hamburger at Wendy's. Remember their old slogan from years and years ago? Where's the beef? Well, that's true today more than it's ever been before. God's using this crisis to destroy all of our idols. J. Crew and Forever 21 are now bankrupt. Country singer Joe Diffie died of COVID-19 back on March the 29th. No music concerts, no new movies being made, and Americans are now so desperate for sports, ESPN is actually running baseball games from South Korea with no fans in the stands and 20-year-old Russian national ping pong championships, for crying out loud. And all those things that we never thought we could ever live without, like cruises and Lollapalooza and Dancing with the Stars. Folks, we used to eat cake that somebody would actually blow on first at a birthday party, if you can believe it. Last April the 22nd was Earth Day. And for crying out loud, can we just put that nonsense to rest once and for all? People celebrating the Earth. The Earth is trying to kill you with COVID-19. We don't worship the Earth. We worship the God who created the Earth because that's where our security is. God has shown us that our security is only in Him by taking away our security in everything else. No security in money. GM has lost 88% of its profits so far this year. 50 million Americans can't pay their next credit card statement. And what are your savings going to be worth when the inflation hits from $7 trillion more of national debt? No security in government. Governor J.B. Pritzker's reopen plan is going to be the final nail in the coffin of the state of Illinois. And with no gatherings allowed of more than 50 people until there's a COVID-19 vaccine, churches in Illinois aren't going to open until God knows when. And yeah, we can keep live streaming sermons and songs, but a church is more than sermons and songs. A church is a body of believers that meets together and worships together and serves together on a regular basis. And there is no church in the state of Illinois that is going to survive without meeting for the next 8, 10, 12, 14 months because there won't be anything left. And Governor J.B. Pritzker does not care because you're non-essential and your church is non-essential. J.B. Pritzker does not care about the survival of your church. So Christians and pastors and church leaders, you have to care about the survival of your church. No security in science. Study came out of New York last week. 66% of all people hospitalized in New York City for COVID-19, got the infection staying at home and sheltering in place, where most infections occur. So put that in your stay-at-home order pipe and smoke it. Scientists aren't God, people, because they've been ridiculously wrong about all kinds of things with this crisis, from sheltering in place orders to masks to models and everything in between. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22, stop trusting in man. And start trusting in God. And it's a good thing some Christians are doing that. Julia Wadasher is a born-again Christian doctor who does triage in ERs on COVID-19 patients in New York City and all kinds of hospitals in that city. And every day when she goes to work and starts putting on her PPE, she starts praying like crazy for protection because the coronavirus is 100,000 times smaller than a grain of salt. And the science is all over the map on whether or not a mask can really protect you or other people or not. And even with her N95 mask with the plastic shield over top of it, that's supposed to filter out 95% of all the particles that could cause COVID-19. But there's still that 5% that you have to worry about. But see, Dr. Julia doesn't worry about it at all. And why? This is what she said. All the while I'm putting on PPE, I'm praying, and in the spirit I'm putting on the whole armor of God. Masks may or may not protect you depending on which study you read, but I know God can protect me 100% from anything, because Psalm 28:7 says, He is my strength and my shield. And even if I did get COVID-19, since I know I'm in His hands and in His will, I know He would have a reason for it, so my witness to people would be even more powerful. Jesus is my strength, my security, and my song, regardless of what happens to me. So absolutely, by all means, let's use every scientific tool that we possibly can to fight COVID-19. But more than anything else, we need to turn to God, because Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6, He is the only sure, certain, secure foundation for our times. The first thing that we need to do to bring good out of this crisis, we need to find our security in God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing that we need to do in order to bring good out of this crisis. We not only need to find our security in God, we also need to find our salvation in God, so that we can be saved. And that's a good thing too. And saved from what? From sin. Because sadly enough, way too many people in America are still spitting in God's face and sinning in all kinds of ways and rebelling against Him, even during this pandemic. Right after President Donald Trump declared last Sunday, March the 15th, as a national day of prayer for this crisis, the Freedom From Religion Foundation issued this statement. President Trump called on the country to, quote, pray for God's healing hand to be placed on the people of our nation, unquote, on Sunday, March 15th. But this is an appeal for the most useless coronavirus response of all, because prayers will not stop a virus any more than they will stop a bullet. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 4, they are fools because they do not know the ways of the Lord or the judgment of God. Illinoisans spent $37 million last month buying recreational marijuana, more than they did in February or March. And everybody and his brother today is so happy about Illinois going to pot. You bet your life, God's not happy about it. Tumblr tells us that the hottest form of porn online right now is called COVID porn, with the guys and the girl actors wearing masks and gloves while wearing nothing else. And the demand is so great, porn sites can't even keep up with it. People that sick. Christians sin too. Over 75% of the people in America who are divorced now are Christians. 75% of the guys in the church and 30% of girls in the church are addicted to porn. And George Barna tells us right now, one out of four Christians in America, pastors included, have cheated on their spouse with some kind of inappropriate sexual contact with another person. Christians, our sin doesn't smell any better than the world's does. And what does God do with that sin? He sends judgment to try to wake us up. And with over 4 million COVID-19 infections in the world, and with almost 300,000 people dead from COVID-19 in the world, God is saying, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You say, but Kevin, God loves us. Yes, but it's a holy love that hates sin and hates what that sin does to us in our relationship with God, and will not stop trying to convict us and purify us until Jesus comes back. Because God wants every single one of us to repent of our sin. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And trust in Jesus and be saved by faith in His blood, so that we won't be lost and go to hell. And we know that God sends judgment like that because He did it over and over again in the Bible. Over and over again, God would let there be a plague or a disease or a virus. And not just to punish people, but to purify them. And to point them to salvation in Jesus Christ. Back in Exodus chapter 12, God sent the plague of the death of the firstborn on the Egyptians. But He spared the Israelites, who painted the blood of the Lamb over the doorposts of their houses. A picture of salvation in Jesus Christ. Numbers chapter 16, when the Israelites rebelled against Moses. A disease broke out that killed almost 15,000 of them until a priest named Aaron made atonement for the sin by using some incense from the altar of sacrifice. A picture of salvation in Jesus. 2 Samuel chapter 24. God punished David for getting too proud. And a disease killed 70,000 Israelites until David repented and cried out to God. And God stopped that disease at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite, right at the place where the temple was going to be built in the future. A picture of the salvation in Jesus. God sends judgment to convict people of sin. There's the law. And God also lets people know there's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. There's the grace. Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. God sends judgment on a nation. If the nation turns back to God, judgment over. Nation doesn't turn back to God. God just turns up the heat and He makes the judgment even worse. And don't tell me that's not what God is doing right now with this COVID-19 crisis here in America. Almost half, previous picture, almost half of all COVID-19 infections in the entire United States and almost half the deaths from COVID-19 in the United States are coming out of New York. Does anybody remember last January the 23rd, 2019, when the New York State Legislature legalized every single kind of slice and dice late-term abortion? And then what did they do afterwards? They gave themselves a standing ovation and high-fived each other for doing it. Do you remember that? Because God remembers it. And don't tell me that New York isn't under the judgment of God right now because of it. The entire United States because of abortion. Animal slaughterhouses are closing all over America right now. But human slaughterhouses, otherwise known as abortion clinics, are still running wide open. There's Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker laughing with glee. Last June the 19th, when he signed the bill that made Illinois the abortion capital of the United States. With laughing, with glee. And of course, abortion clinics in Illinois are still operating as essential businesses because just like the governor says, it is all about saving lives. People, hypocrisy knows no bounds. And don't tell me that Illinois, under that governor, isn't under the judgment of God right now too. And folks, if enough of us Americans have to die from COVID-19 to equal the number of Americans who died from abortion, 67 million, the only thing that we can say, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, but all these people that died from COVID-19, most of them didn't have anything to do with abortion. I know that. But see, they were still sinners. Regardless of what the sin was. So Jesus says, Luke chapter 13, verse 3, the message, the lesson from every single disaster there is, even this COVID-19 disaster, is still the same for every single one of us. Except we repent, we will all likewise perish too. Every single one of us needs to repent and turn back to Jesus Christ and find salvation in Him. We need to find salvation in Christ because this COVID-19 disaster is reminding us of our own mortality. The fact that one of these days, every single one of us is going to die too. You say, but Kevin, my chances of getting COVID-19 are less than 1%. Doesn't matter. Because even if you don't get COVID-19, you'll still eventually die of something else. And you have no idea when. Last Sunday night, a 43-year-old truck driver from River Grove was killed on Interstate 80 close to Morris when a guy in a Jeep just pulled right off the shoulder, right out in front of him. Gone. Just like that. 7,116 people die every single day in this country, even without COVID-19. And the sad fact is, you die without Christ? Something's going to happen to you that is far worse than COVID-19, and that's hell. And you won't be in hell because God didn't want you. You'll be in hell because you didn't want Him. So anybody listening to this sermon right now, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, what in the world are you waiting for? Well, Kevin, I'm too busy. You're too busy for that? You may be too busy to play with your dog or call your mom or take your kids to Disneyland, but you're too busy for that? Last February the 27th, police in Slidell, Louisiana, pulled over a 52-year-old driver named Michael Bogan for having an expired license sticker on his car. Something that he hadn't taken care of for a long, long time because that sticker expired September of 1997, 23 years ago. And when the police asked him why it took him so long to renew his sticker, this is what he said. "Sorry, officer, I've been busy lately and totally forgot to renew my vehicle registration, but I will take care of it just as soon as I get home." Now, we don't know whether that guy really did that or not. And we don't know whether the police gave him a ticket or not. But folks, it's a wonder they didn't shoot him. 23 years? What in the world was the guy waiting for? But there's people listening to this sermon right now. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and accepted Him into your heart. So the question is, what in the world are you waiting for? Some of you, year after year after year, time after time after time, you've heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and convicting you. And you know exactly what you need to do, but you keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until one day God's going to pull you over for the last time. And you're going to die. And you're going to stand before God. And God's not just going to write you a warning ticket, but it's going to be too late. And you're going to go to hell. So don't you dare put this off. Because the time to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior is right now before you die. Because like COVID-19 teaches us, you could die at any time. And the only thing at that moment that's going to matter, are you trusting in Jesus for salvation? So don't tell me. Don't tell me you're too busy to do that. The second thing that we need to do to bring good out of this crisis, we need to find salvation in God. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to do to bring good out of this crisis. We not only need to find security in God, we not only need to find salvation in God, but third, we need to build up our relationship with God so we can get closer to Jesus. And that's a good thing too. So whatever you do, don't waste your lockdown. Don't waste your lockdown by worrying. The castaways on Gilligan's Island prove you can survive without toilet paper. Don't waste your lockdown by arguing with your kids. A hyper little girl asked her mom the other day, "Mommy, am I adopted?" And mom said, "Not yet. I just put the ad out yesterday." Don't waste your time arguing. Don't waste your lockdown. But sadly enough, too many people are. That guy right there, middle picture, top of the screen, is letting his beautician girlfriend do his hair a different way every single day so she can stay in practice while she's out of a job. Good thing that guy is on lockdown and quarantine. That guy right there is dressing up every day like Mr. Box on the TV commercial and putting pictures of it on social media. Right now, the hottest contest on social media is called the TikTok Naked Challenge, where you take your clothes off and then videotape the look on your partner's face when you walk in on them on your birthday suit. And then you post the video online. People, are we really that starved for entertainment and that desperate for something to do? Talk about a waste of time. And what about Christians? George Barna tells us before the lockdown, over half of all Christians in America did not go to church 3 out of every 4 Sundays. And now during the lockdown, only a tiny fraction of Christians are watching the live stream worship services from their own church. Christians can binge watch everything from Tiger King to Game of Thrones till the cows come home. But they can't watch a few minutes of worship on a Sunday morning. I think this sermon just started. We need to build up our relationship with God so we can get close to Jesus. The word crisis in Chinese, of all languages, consists of two different characters. The first one means crisis. The second character means opportunity. So Christians, we need to use this crisis as an opportunity to get closer to Christ. And why? Last April the 26th, the former Chicago Bears quarterback Jay Cutler and his wife, Kristen Cavallari, announced that they were getting a divorce after 7 years of marriage. Because she's all wrapped up in her reality show, very Cavallari, and all about building her brand, and Jay Cutler has never cared anything about that stuff. And they never spent any time with each other. And they just started drifting apart. So see what happens to a relationship when we don't take time for it and don't make it a priority. And Christians, don't tell me the same thing doesn't happen with our relationship with Jesus Christ when we don't make it a priority. You say, but Kevin, I'm busy. I'm still working during this lockdown. I am too. But our personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the most precious thing in the whole wide world. Lockdown or not. So no excuses. You say, but Kevin, I feel like a prisoner locked up in my own house. So what? Folks, the Apostle Paul spent 2 years under house arrest in Rome. And a lot of that time, he was physically chained to a Roman soldier who was guarding him. And yet the Apostle Paul was still able to write Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Four letters of the New Testament. You say, yeah, Kevin, but Paul didn't have kids to deal with. I know a Christian mom in this church, every single morning when school starts for her kids online, she sits right down at the kitchen table next to her kids and does two online women's Bible studies, Milk and Honey and Proverbs 31. She's getting more into the Word. So the question for the rest of us, are we more into the Word during this lockdown than we were before? Because Jesus said, man shall not live on Netflix alone. Are we praying more than we were before? Are we closer to Jesus than we were before? Are we more like Jesus than we were before? I know a Christian man from this congregation who has used this lockdown to beat his porn addiction. His porn habit, because God finally convinced him porn is non-essential. I know a Christian woman who used this lockdown to quit smoking. To give up that addiction to nicotine and cigarettes. I know a Christian guy who last month memorized the entire Gospel of John, plus working 60 hours a week on top of it. I know Christian teenagers who are going to different neighborhoods and planting flowers for free in the yards of senior citizens who are too afraid right now to come out of their house. So those young people are not only getting closer to Jesus, they're also becoming more like Jesus in the process. Redeem the time. We can redeem the time by praying for revival. Because there are some signs. Pew Research says 60% of Americans are praying that God would put an end to this virus. And over half of all Americans believe that this virus is a wake-up call from God. And the number of Google searches for the word prayer doubles every time the infection rate goes up another 80,000 people. So do you think maybe, just maybe, some people are realizing that we really do need the Lord? There hasn't been a genuine great move of God in this country for 50 years, since the 1970s and the Jesus movement and the Jesus people. And we have been praying for revival here for a coon's age. Is COVID-19 what God is going to use to make it happen? America has been ripe for harvest for decades, and Christians, this is the greatest opportunity that you and I have ever had in our entire lifetime to share the gospel, even if we do have to do it in all kinds of different and creative ways. But Christians, listen to me. Unbelievers will never believe that God can bring something good out of this crisis if we don't believe it ourselves. If we don't get off our pity pot and stop feeling sorry for ourselves about all the things that we lost and start trusting God. Because God always does trillions of things all at once and is constantly putting things into place. All over the place. Even when it doesn't seem like to you and me, He's doing anything. Letting that bad thing happen here so that that good thing can happen over there. And not only for us, but for all kinds of people that we don't even know about yet. just like he did for him. William Seward was born in 1801 near Florida, New York, on a farm that had slaves, because slavery was not outlawed in the state of New York until 1827. But his father, Samuel, was a Scrooge. So after a couple years at Union School near Schenectady, William Seward ran away to Georgia and clerked in a law office and became a born-again Christian and realized how evil slavery really was and became an abolitionist. Then he went back home and became a lawyer and served in all kinds of state and federal government offices as a member of the Whig Party, today the Republican Party. And William Seward was such a popular politician all over the North, he was the leading candidate for president in 1860. But the party bosses knew that William Seward was way too anti-slavery to be elected nationwide, especially by the slave states. So for the candidate, they actually chose a lesser-known lawyer from Illinois named Abraham Lincoln. Because even though Lincoln was anti-slavery too, most of the country knew nothing about it. So in 1860, with William Seward's help, President Abraham Lincoln was elected, became the President of the United States, and he named William Seward as his Secretary of State right when the hell of the Civil War was just getting started. Well, the Civil War ended April 9th, 1865, but William Seward couldn't celebrate it because 4 days before, he had rolled a horse carriage and broke his jaw. So he had to turn down an invitation for him and his wife to go to Ford's Theater on April 14th, 1865, with Abraham Lincoln and his wife Mary. John Wilkes Booth had originally planned to kidnap Lincoln and Seward and Secretary of War Harry Stanton, along with a couple of co-conspirators. But that day, April 14th, John Wilkes Booth changed his mind and decided they should all be assassinated instead. So while John Wilkes Booth was killing Abraham Lincoln at Ford's Theater because of his broken jaw, William Seward was home in bed until one of the co-conspirators named Lewis Pauley busted into Seward's house, overpowered the guard, jumped on the bed and started stabbing Seward in the neck and in the face with a knife. But see, when the doctors had set Seward's broken jaw, they put a big metal brace around his neck and the bottom of his face. So even though he was wounded in the attack, he wasn't killed, and he survived. And that's another good thing, because William Seward always had this idea that America should expand all over the world every time she got the opportunity. So back in 1856, when he was still a senator, he sponsored something called the Guano Act that said America had the right to claim any island, any ocean, any part of the world that had bird droppings on it that could be used for fertilizer if no other nation would claim it. So in 1867, when William Seward was Secretary of State for President Andrew Johnson, he arranged for America to get an island called Midway Atoll in the middle of the Pacific, or Midway Island. And in 1942, it was the U.S. Navy base that America had built on Midway Island and the Battle of Midway Island that turned the tide against Japan in World War II. Gee, do you think there was a good reason why God had William Seward break his jaw? And not only that, but in 1860, William Seward got this crazy idea that America should buy Alaska at the extreme northwest corner of North America. And people laughed at him, and they called it Seward's folly, because Alaska was on the same latitude as Siberia and almost impossible to farm. But in 1861, the Russians were done with it because they thought they'd gotten all the gold and all the oil out of Alaska that there was. So in 1867, William Seward arranged for the United States to buy Alaska for $7 million. Turned out one of the greatest sources of oil in the entire world, and still is to this day. And if the United States had not purchased Alaska, do you know who else was waiting in line to buy it? China. Yikes. So we'd have not only had COVID-19, we'd have also had a demonic, anti-Christian, communist dictatorship right at our back door. But see, we don't. And all because William Seward's father was a skinflint. And because William Seward broke his jaw 4 days before the end of the Civil War. Romans chapter 11, verses 34 and 35. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom of the knowledge of God. How inscrutable are His ways and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? All those bad things in William Seward's life, and God took every single one of them and used them for good. And not only in his life, but in the lives of other people and the life of this nation for generations to come. And Christians, the question is this morning, how does God want to use the bad things in your life for good? And not only in your life, but the lives of other people and the life of this nation for generations to come too. But listen to me. That will never happen if we simply don't trust God that His promises are true and that He can do what He says. What is God doing with this COVID-19 crisis? He is working all things together for good for those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. That's what this verse says. But the question is, Christians, do we really believe that? Because if we really believe it, we'll act on it. So today, right now, we need to take this whole coronavirus crisis and just surrender it and give it to the Lord. This whole scary, depressing, disgusting, maddening mess, and give it to God. All the fears that we have about our health and our kids and our parents, all the fears that we have about education and the upcoming election, all the anger that we feel about the plans we had to cancel and all the things that we've had to sacrifice, all the anger that we have about our rights and freedoms being taken away. Is there a time and a place to stand up for your freedoms? Absolutely. And I can tell you, as a pastor of a church in Illinois, I am fit to be tied. But right now, today, at this moment, we need to get some perspective back and just take this whole crisis and surrender it to God, believing that some way, somehow, He's going to take it and use it for good things in our lives, in the lives of other people, in our churches, and in this nation. We just need to trust Him. We just need to turn to Him. And let's do that right now. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Lord, we thank You today. Some of us, this is the worst, most wide-reaching trial that we have ever dealt with. Businesses, churches, homes shuttered up. People being forced out of their homes now by government agencies and bureaucrats all over the United States. We've never seen or dealt with anything like this before. But we just thank You today, Lord, that You are in control. You are bigger than COVID-19. And even this entire COVID-19 crisis grows strangely dim in the light of Your glory and Your grace. I pray, Lord, that You would just increase our faith, strengthen our faith, draw us closer to You than we have ever been before, even in this time. And we just trust You, Lord, that You're going to be with us and see us through this, whatever comes. All this we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.